So I don't want to take up a whole lot of time. I just want you to give some love to this divine creature, Gael Rhodes Benjamin. Hallelujah.
By morning, new mercies I see. Yes. All I have needed, God's love has already provided. Not just for me, but for you, and you, and you. Ooh, I didn't plan to get this emotional this morning, but I'm proud of it. Y'all gonna ride with me? Yeah. Ooh. Mm. It's so good to see everybody. Welcome to all of our visitors and people who are coming back after a long time. I feel amazingly blessed this morning. Most importantly, it's just good for us to be together and to share some good, positive vibes. Yes. You know, that's what we do. We exchange energy, good, positive vibes, because that's what keeps us going. That's what keeps me motivated. It's so much other things going on. I'm not going to even get into that, pay any attention to that. I'm paying attention to you this morning. I'm paying attention to us this morning. And I feel like I want to start off with an affirmation that I found myself using a lot this year and in some previous years, especially when I'm feeling like the clock might be working against me or I doubt my readiness for what life has brought to my doorstep. And will you know it with me?
Yes.
My life.
My whole life
has prepared me
for this now moment.
Let's do it again. My whole life has prepared me
for this now moment.
This affirmation, okay, I'm ready. This affirmation takes the edge off for me. It reminds me of my readiness for whatever is being brought my way. I had never even heard of a place called Unity or heard that there was any other path other than the path I had been raised on. And that was the path of speak when spoken to, be seen and not heard. Don't even think about chiming into an adult conversation unless it's a 911 emergency with someone about to bleed to death on the sidewalk. Don't look at boys. Keep a nickel between your knees. Don't even think about sex. Don't talk about it either. And most of all, don't have sex. And that God is watching your every move and keeping track of all you do, bad or good, and that God, the man in the sky with kind of like a long beard, and he was definitely white according to the pictures in my Sunday school book, would be making a judgment in the end of which direction you would go to. Not just for a short little visit, but for all of eternity. These things did not resonate with my spirit. And under that type of scrutiny, how could I ever measure up, especially when I was the type of child who never showed a lot of emotion or express myself freely. I know that might be difficult for most of you to imagine, but if you saw any of my early childhood pictures, I kind of have this look on my face like, okay, what's next? People would ask my mother, what's wrong with her? And my mother would say, nothing. She's just solid. I never even asked my mother what it meant, but finally, just yesterday, I looked it up after all these years, and it says solemn means formal and dignified, not cheerful or smiling, serious, characterized by deep sincerity. Wow. Mama was telling people that nothing was wrong. I was just dignified. How about that? Anyway, one day, Ms. Sullivan, my third grade teacher, said something in class, and I burst out in the biggest laugh. I mean, I laughed so hard and so loud, I could not stop. I laughed, and I laughed, and I laughed, and it was contagious. The whole class started laughing too, and then Miss Sullivan herself joined all of us, and then right in the middle of everything, she decided to go to the store on her lunch hour to throw a party for us because I had laughed for the first time in class. I didn't really know what the big deal was, but kids started asking me to laugh more often. But at that time, I couldn't laugh unless it was actually funny. I couldn't fake it if I didn't feel it for real. Here's another affirmation I'd like you to know with me. All doors are open.
All
channels are free.
All channels are free.
The powerful voice of my soul.
The powerful voice of my soul.
Says yes. Yes, yes to me.
Yes, yes, yes to me.
That was good. One weekend, when I was about 17 or so, I was visiting one of my favorite cousins, Lala Renee, in Chicago. Lala was the one who always pushed me way beyond my comfort zone. Do you have somebody like that in your life? They just push you and push you and push you, and you see them coming, you start running. I used to hide from them. But this particular weekend in Chicago, she wasn't on my case, pressuring me or saying, okay, what's the plan? What's your next move after graduation? This time around, she took me to a birthday party. I don't even remember whose party it was, but I do remember it was her friend Beverly's house, and that it was a medium-sized house, a very relaxed environment, and there was no pressure. I remember feeling like myself is the best way to describe it. The party was in the basement, but I never made it to the basement. I was sitting alone quietly in the living room when I noticed something on the dining room table that captured my attention. I got up and walked toward it. It was a book by Florence Scovel Shinn titled The Game of Life and How to Play It. The Game of Life and How to Play It? One of the quotes immediately got my attention. This is it. Most people see life as a battle, but it is not a battle. It is a game. Man must be prepared for the thing he has asked for when there isn't the slightest sign of it in sight. And this caught my attention as well. Infinite Spirit opened the way for the design, for the divine design of my life to manifest itself now. Let me see clearly the perfect plan. Release the genius in me now. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
It was like finding a hidden treasure. I sat in that living room and I devoured that book because it spoke to me in a language that I could grasp onto. When the student is ready, the teacher appears. Well, she was my new teacher, and I was ready. When the party was over, I was trying to figure out how to leave with the book without being noticed. However, Barbara was walking toward me, and as I held onto the book for dear life, I said, "Where'd you get this book?" She said, "I don't know. Do you like it?" "Yes, yes, yes," I said, and then she told me that she didn't know whose book it was, but that I could have it. She told me that I could keep a book that spoke my language. I didn't know what to call this new language, but at least I had experienced its texture, its flavor, its meaning. I was opening myself towards something new, just like most of us here today. I began to practice some of those prayer formulas and affirmations, and experience feeling even more like myself. Finally, I was in New York City, the place I had always dreamed of. Tall buildings, the Harlem James Baldwin always spoke about in his books, the Apollo Theater, Lincoln Center, yellow taxis, and people everywhere. School was over and I was ready for life. But life took a different turn that I wasn't expecting. All of a sudden, as life was giving new breath to me, I was trying to take a deeper breath and hold on to my composure, because here I was in the middle of the best moment ever and in love with the love of my life at the time and having given birth to our child, and now we were I could hardly say the word, but we were separated. And you know how we whisper the thing that's happening? Because we don't want it to seem as real as it is. We were going in separate directions. And I was going to be alone. Because that's what it felt like. And on top of that, I was going to be the one caring for our child on a daily basis. I was terrified. Okay, so now, this is the way I was thinking, okay? Okay, okay. I'm going to be taking care of this child, but who is going to take care of me? After all, I'm in New York City. I don't really know anybody. I mean, maybe a handful, but I don't really know anybody. This is not good. And until we go to court and get everything settled, I'll have to do everything, pay for everything, be responsible for everything, and I can't mess up. Something really bad could happen, and I'll be in big trouble. The one thing I had going for me was that I was in a musical called Burning So Deep. And the stress of it all allowed me to have vocal problems. Notice I say allowed, because in every situation we feel that we have absolutely no control over, there is a blessing wrapped inside of it. A fellow actor named Ken told me about his vocal teacher mentor who came to the show. She saw me at my worst and told him to tell me to come to her vocal studio. Her name was Helen Phillips. She was one of the very first African-American women who sang opera both here and abroad. When I walked into her studio, she looked me up and down and said, "Well, have a seat, young lady." At the end of my lesson, she handed me a daily word pamphlet that spoke my language and directed me toward unity at Lincoln Center. That was the exact dose of medicine I needed in that moment. Unity became a bridge over troubled waters for me. I came to realize I was never alone in the first place because the God in me, which is the God in you, is everlasting peace, everlasting love, and divine order is always in full effect no matter what it looks like, no matter what it sounds like, no matter what it feels like. Okay, so I had to operate in small increments in between my crying spells during this period. And I said to myself, okay, in order to make it through, I'm going to have to allow some shifting to occur. There has to be another way around this. I already had one babysitter, and she knew two other women in her building who became my standby babysitters. And then a young lady named Aurelis, God bless her, showed up and was willing to clean and babysit. And one day, as I planned for a very important audition, and she wasn't available, and I told her, okay, I'll make arrangements. She said, don't worry, I have 10 sisters, and we all babysit. Wow, there is always more. Even when we have limited expectations, if we are open-minded, the seeds of life continue to take root. Moses, in Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter in the 19th verse says, therefore, choose life, that both thy and thy seed may live, that both thy, meaning you, and thy seed, your offspring, whatever you have planted, whatever you have made room for, whatever you have asked or claimed to spring forth, what are you planting in the garden of your life? We always talk about what we are wanting and wishing and affirming and making room for, but are we really? I realize, I don't know if you ever had this experience, but I was in a holding pattern, saying this and that and the other without the energy, the bang, the yes, yes, yes. It's easy to stay in the so-called expectancy mode. How are you? Hanging in there. What's up? You know. Waiting for my blessing. What's going on? Same old, same old. Feeling good? I'm all right. You know, another day, another dollar, baby. Or, I'm miserable, I'm broke, I'm waiting on my day, it's gonna come, right? If you really want your harvest to burst forth, you gotta dig a little deeper. And be way more specific. The psalmist reminds us to be still and know that I am God. In the quiet of being, in the depth of your soul, gather yourself calmly, gently, confidently, and turn the soil. Some farmers choose May or April to turn the soil, but we, as spiritual warriors, we can turn the soil whenever we feel like it.
Amen.
We can turn the soil on purpose by transforming our thoughts into a pattern that lines up with our beliefs. The old stuff from last season has withered and died. So let's turn the soil this morning together towards the new season that is here right now. Let's turn the soil on those old relationships that passed away to make way for our highest good, for our best, better selves to emerge. Because life doesn't want you to be burdened down with old, lifeless stuff. You're too beautiful for that. You're way more than that. The scripture says, let your light so shine that others can see the good in you. You don't worry if your light is shining so brightly. I don't want you to worry if your light is shining so brightly that others get blinded by your light. Let them find another lane. And you, my sister and my brother, you keep on being you. And now that you are ready, dig. 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 Go deeper into the earth this time. Plant your seed in the garden of your fertile imagination. Visualize your expectancy as if it is already happening. Bless your newly planted unseen crop with specificity, using the exactness of now, not the future. Don't beg, don't whine. Say it out loud, say it softly. Write it as clearly as you can. Maybe you want to choose more compatible partners in your business or in your relationships. Maybe you want to travel to a certain area of the world. Maybe you want overwhelming prosperity, better health, to take another class, to teach more classes, to be more confident in your gifts, to be less shy. You know the prophet Jeremiah. We hear a lot about Jeremiah, but we don't hear about the beginnings of his days when God said to him, yo, Jeremiah, man, like, I want you to speak to the people for me. And Jeremiah was like, what, me? I stutter. And God said, my words will I put into thy mouth. God will give you the right words. God will give you the right energy. God will give you the right time. Just show up and be the best you that you can handle. Can you handle that?
Yes.
Now the question is, will every single day be a rose garden? Perfect? Maybe not. Will every day produce a new blossom of crop? Absolutely. You just might have to look at it from a different angle because it's right here. The other day I was walking down the street and a UPS driver was blocking a lady in. She was just standing there walking around in circles. And finally she just said, okay, thank you. He was like, what's going on, miss? Oh, you wanted to get out? He said, you never said so. All you had to do was ask. So ask for what you need, ask for what you want, and know that you are always in the process of becoming what you allow yourself to become. In Michelle Obama's book title, Becoming, she talks about living in a two-family flat, struggling to fit in various neighborhoods and schools and colleges, and of course she had no idea, especially being a brown-skinned girl from the south side of Chicago, that she was becoming the first lady of the United States of America. Just like you don't know who you are becoming, plant your seeds carefully Go beyond the faith this time. Plant your seeds knowing that your blossom will be full and plenteous. Knowing that you deserve the joy that is yours by divine right. Now, I've told some of you the story a few times before, but I'm going to tell it again because I think it's worth telling. During this time of the breakup that I was speaking of earlier, I couldn't hold it together. Everywhere I went, I was crying. Crying all over the sidewalk, crying all over the subway cars, just making a, it was a mess. It was just a mess. And probably knowing me, I was probably still trying to wear some mascara and making it worse. But anyway, the one thing I prayed for diligently, and I mean on my knees, standing up, sideways, backwards, I prayed for my joy to be restored, because when I would look at myself in the mirror, I didn't look like this. I was very sad. I was very thin. I looked almost lifeless. So I had to get back on my good foot. And I went to this interview up in Harlem. And I got on the train and I cried all the way there. And I walked down the street and I cried all the way down the street. I walked upstairs to where the interview was. I went in the bathroom. I was still crying. I wiped my face. I went in. I had the interview. As soon as I finished the interview, there I was crying again. As soon as I got home, there was a message on my answering service from the people who just interviewed me. And they said, hey, we're still looking over your resume and everything, but the one thing that stood out about you was your joy. My joy. Can you imagine that? My joy, they saw my joy seeping through me, the joy I wasn't even feeling at the time. So know that whatever you are planting, the seeds of your greatness are right there. This past New Year's Eve, I decided to bring it in kind of differently. I decided that I was not going to do all the hoopla and all the have some champagne at midnight and the kissing and the loving and I turned off everything. I unplugged everything. And I very purposely started the new year off like I wanted the new year to be, okay? So I started affirming my never-ending prosperity, my wholeness, my health, my joy. I took my exercise mat out. I got out there, I did sit-ups. I don't know how many I did. I got in the bathtub. I had a cup of tea. I turned off everything. I felt renewed. I felt rejuvenated. And I kid you not, that same night the phone started ringing, and it's been ringing ever since. Set your intention. Plant your seeds and stay grounded. Let your roots expand. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven within you. Ask for divine guidance in all things concerning you. And if you do seek counsel, make sure you consult with the Most High God within you first and last. Let it be your decision, not anyone else's. Take full responsibility for all things concerning you. Now fast forward. Your harvest has arrived. The crop is plenty. Are you ready? Are you prepared? Are you organized? Can you handle the pressure of all that has lined up at your front door just for you? Of course. Of course you're ready. Just relax and make room for more. There is no lack in the harvest. There's always plenty and more than enough. Just like, remember Jesus out there with the two loaves and the fish, and all those people were hungry, and Jesus said, you know, bang, bang, boom, he blessed it. And all of a sudden, it was enough to feed everybody, right? And nobody went up to Jesus and said, you know, where'd you get this fish? You know, how'd you do this? You know, he just said, amen, let's eat, and the food was delicious. The lady with the oil, the prophet Elisha, she was a widow. She didn't know how she was gonna pay her debtors. She didn't know how she was gonna take care of her sons. They were gonna be sent out to be slaves. And Elisha said, well, what do you have? She says, all I have is some oil. It was like, you know, pack that oil up and sell it. And she became a prosperous woman. So your harvest time has arrived and it's your time. Take wings and put on your flight gear. It's time for you to take a ride. And don't tell everybody, because people have never had their own flying gear and they might want to fly with you just because you're flying. But the added weight will hold you down. Let them manage their own gear. You might ask, okay, how do I know my crop is in full bloom and ready for the harvest? It is ready when you are ready. When you say yes and mean yes. When you declare that what you have been speaking forth will not return to you void, will not return to you empty-handed. When you choose life without excuses, without needing anyone else's approval. Choose life. Choose to be so connected to the God within you that you don't need the outer voice of the world to define you. When you let others decide who you are and where you're going and how long you should stay or how talented you really are or how often you should celebrate, you are giving away your harvest. You are giving away your power center that you've been building in your sacred time with all of your sacred energy for so long. It's like stopping in the middle of the highway to give away gasoline to anyone who has less than a tank, and then you can't get home. Your definition of who you say you are is the only thing that matters. If you are always seeking the approval of others, you remain dependent. Your goal is to be spiritually independent. Spiritual independence leads you right into the center of your magnificence. Perhaps you have not taken a glimpse of who you were versus who you are becoming. Look at how you have begun to show up for yourself. How many of you have begun to show up for yourself more?
Yes.
How many of you have begun to speak up more for yourself?
Yes.
How many of you have begun to plant seeds of prosperity?
Okay.
Magnificence, joy, new seeds of friendship, because everybody you used to hang with wants to stay close to home, and you still have the fire and the energy and the zest because you are still choosing life so that you can continue to get through all the muck and the dirt and the fallouts and the slip and falls and the get backs up and to keep it moving. Always keep it moving. Amen. Tell somebody, always keep it moving.
Always keep it moving.
Always keep it moving. Like the old folks used to say that. So that nothing has a chance to grow underneath your feet, which means you've been standing in one place for far too long. Keep it moving. Turn the dirt. Declare another harvest and another and another and another. There are no limits, none.
Yes, 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 yes.
Yes, no limits. Langston Hughes, one of my favorite poets, I'm sure you know by now, he wrote that legendary poem, I Too Sing America. I am the darker brother. They send me to eat in the kitchen when company comes. What does that mean? They didn't think he was worth it. He says, and this has become my motto, but I laugh.
Yes.
Eat well and grow strong. That is the best medicine. Laughing like I learned to do after not knowing how, and eating nutritious food and drinks that keep your vibrations rising up, and getting your spiritual nutrition, which is your prayer time, your quiet time, to unplug and disconnect in order to connect on a deeper level. Once you claim your harvest, continue to bless its expansion. Like Jabez, pray for his territory to be expanded in 1 Chronicles, the 4th chapter and the 10th verse. Most of you have already heard about Jabez, but he only takes up like 2 verses in the Bible. His mother named him Jabez, which means that he was born of pain, so his life was supposed to be one of pain. Nothing was expected of him, but he spoke life into his life and asked very specifically for his coast or his tent to be expanded, and God granted his request. His life shifted when his mind shifted and his word spoke forth the specifics. same as you and I, calling forth of all of what we desire with great voice and great expectancy, with power and with authority. I asked a co-worker recently, how long have you worked here? He replied, oh, just about a year. I said, oh, I thought you had been here a long time. He said, no, I just act like it. Turn around, that boy had a raise in 5 minutes. Act like it. I took notes from him, and that's why I'm sharing it with you today. Walk in and act like you already own the place. Check your posture. Don't come in all apologizing for being born. Hold your back up straight. Say your name. Give a firm handshake. Give eye contact. Don't apologize for being you. Celebrate being you. Can I get an amen? All the love, all the wellness, all the roles, all of the travel, all of the abundance, and make sure that the words that come out of your mouth match your expectation. And then watch the universe come rushing to your doorstep. Are you ready?
Yes.
There will be more responsibility, more follow through. To whom much is given, much is required. But I believe you got this morning. Repeat after me. I am flourishing.
I am flourishing.
I am knowing who I am.
I am knowing who I am.
I choose life.
I choose life.
I live fully and freely and completely.
I live fully and freely and
completely. And all is very well.
And all is very well.
Now, Tamron Hall, I don't know if you heard about her recently, but she didn't listen to those statistics when the doctor said, oh, women over 40, oh no, you can't bear children, and gave birth a few weeks ago to a tiny little cute little baby boy. His name is Moses. Growing up, her grandfather always told her that she could go anywhere she wanted to go. But there was not even pavement in the area where she grew up, so how could she have a path to go in? She created her own path. And about 2 years ago, she was given bye-bye from the network that she was working for. She said that when she walked out the door, she didn't know who she was anymore. She was in an identity fog because she didn't have a title behind her name anymore. And I say to you this morning, always remember your name without the title attached to it. Because without your name attached to it, that title would be insignificant. You give any title significance, flavor, prestige, stamina, dignity, and power. 2 years ago, she hadn't even met her now husband. She didn't know that the crop that she could not see was blooming rapidly and was about to become, that she was going to be a first-time mother to a healthy baby boy. I say to you this morning, just remember your name is who you say you are. And let's take it further. Remember that you are greatness. Can you handle that?
Yes.
Put your hand on your heart. Own that. I am greatness.
I am greatness.
There you go. You're a child of this vast universe. Collecting crop, planting new seeds, planning for the next harvest daily. You don't have to wait for a visible new growth. You are the new growth. You are a grown man or a grown woman growing into the next phase of who you are becoming, bravely, confidently, effortlessly. It's harvest time. You don't have to wait in the vestibule or the waiting room, indistinguishable in the background. You got a brand new crop. Repeat after me. My life force is a continuous expression of goodness.
My life force.
Gratitude,
of
forgiveness,
and giving thanks for who I am becoming.
My whole life. Stand up and say it with me. My whole life.
My whole life.
My whole life.
My whole life
has prepared me.
Absolutely. Diane Rhodes Benjamin. Always keep it moving. Always keep it moving. Unless it's time to be still, I know. And right now it is. It is that time. It is that time where we have the opportunity to take these truths and these reminders to a deeper place, to remember the truth. We are holy. You are holy. I am holy. And the lights are being lowered because it is a time of going within and meditating. Our lights have been brightened so much that it's challenging to lower them. So we can stop and be still at any time. Whether the lights in the ceiling above us are bright, or whether we go into that place, we are holy. We are holy, holy, holy. We are holy, holy, holy. We are holy, holy, holy. We are holy. Let's know that again. We are holy, holy, holy. It's a truth. We are holy, holy, holy. We are holy, holy, holy. And in the dark, we know that you are holy. And the light within is shining. You are holy, holy, holy. You are. Turn to someone and sing it to them now, and now they'll know. You are holy, holy, holy. You are holy, holy, holy. You are holy. Let's know the truth that I am holy. I am holy, holy, holy. I am holy, holy, holy. I am holy, holy, holy. I am. Let's hum that vibration. Of divine love. care for, we fertilize the seeds we sow in faith and in love and the strong belief that what we have sown will take root and produce an overflowing harvest of good that blesses us as we use it, as we share it with others. There is no lack in the harvest. In the book of John, it says, look around you and see how the fields are ripe for harvesting. The harvest of divine love, of abundance. And we turn to God, to that place within us in the silence, and we listen for the guidance that guides us, that tells us which seed thoughts to plant and when and where to plant them. And we allow ourselves to drop to that deeper place, to drop into the silence. My life, my whole life, has prepared me for this moment, this now moment. Oh, great is thy faithfulness.